I have a lot to say today because we're going to be talking about our mouths. How many of you in here have ever gotten in trouble because of something you said? Okay, the rest of you are lying. If you're married, how many of you have said something and as you have said it, you wanted to grab those words out of the air and bring them back in? That's everybody that's married. It happens to us. Amen. I heard a man and woman talking. He looks at his wife. He says, "I just read here that women talk twice as much as men." And that is somebody that needs to repent right there. He said, "Women talk twice as much as men." And his wife looked at him and said, "Well, of course, we have to repeat everything twice." And the man said, "What?" Our mouths keep us in trouble, right? If we could go through our life and we could take care of our mouths, our lives would be easier, right? My dad used to say, "Neil, keep your mouth shut." I'm like, "Why?" He says, "Because some people think you're an idiot." And I would say, "What?" He says, "Yeah, you don't want to talk and remove all doubt." The thing of it is we've got to watch our mouths. And that's what James is going to be talking about today. He's going to be talking about our mouths and how to do things. Our mouths are so important to our lives. If you'll open up your lesson notes, how important are your words? Letter A, my words direct where I am going. My words direct where I am going. And I want you to hear this because your words, the things that you say, positive or negative, are going to direct where you're going. Several years ago, I read a book. It's called One Word That Would Change Your Life. And the guy suggested that what you should do on New Year's Day is you should pick one word for the whole year and focus on that word. It went on to say that you could make a poster and you could put it on your mirror so every morning you could wake up and you could look at that one word. And you could see that one word and you could focus on that one word. He said it was so much better for him than a resolution because he couldn't keep resolutions, but he could constantly think about that one word. Well, since then, I have gotten something that I've been working on, and I take a word for the year or a theme for the year. And one year it was loving, one year it was forgiving people, one year it was joy. I remember the year I did joy. I had so much fun because every morning I woke up and I looked in the mirror and I saw joy. So I started out my day joyous. In another year, I did a thankful, and every day I would be thankful for something. The reason why I'm telling you this, because we as Christians sometimes need one word, don't we? And for some of you, it might be strength that you need right now. For some of you, it might be prayer that you need right now. But whatever that one word is, it's going to direct you in a certain direction. Look at what it says here. Bits turn the whole animal and rudders wherever the pilot wants the ship to go. The second thing is my words can destroy what I have. My words can actually destroy what I have. I have seen so many people's marriages destroyed by words. And so many people are going through this life and they're not happy. And it's mainly because of the words they have spoken in the past and they have destroyed what they have had. Look at what it says here. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. Sometimes when you're discussing things with your wife, one of the spouses will say something, the other spouse will say something, and the next thing you know, it's evolved into this thing. And I've been talking with with people in marriage counseling. They'll talk about discussions they're having, and then it turns into an argument, and then it turns into a full-blown fight. And I had one guy said to me one day, he says, you know, and I said this, and all hell broke loose. And I thought about this verse right here, because their words set their marriage on fire. It turned it a bed. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, for the mouth speaks what? I'm sorry, Proverbs 21:23 says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. I know when I was growing up, I heard this thing called sticks and stones, and they'll break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Let me tell you, that is the biggest lie that you have heard when you were growing up. Because words will hurt you. They will destroy you, and they will destroy others. Let her see. My words display my heart. It says, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. There is a tool they use in weather. It's called a barometer, and that barometer measures air pressure. I know some people can feel the pressure in the air changing. I've known people that get aches and pains or get something uneasy just because the atmospheric pressure changes. And I want to tell you that your words are a spiritual barometer. It tells you where you are spiritually. I know when I get up in the morning and I get out on the road, if I'm irritable and I'm cranky and I'm fussing at everybody that's driving on the road because nobody knows how to drive anymore, that's a spiritual barometer of where I am. Your words will tell you where you are spiritually. The things you say to your family, the things you say to your spouse, the things you say at work are a testimony of where you are spiritually. Matthew says, 12:34, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Mark 7:15-16, your souls aren't harmed by what you eat, but by what you think and say. So you got 3 points there. Your words direct where you're going. Your words can destroy what you have. And your words display your heart. So what am I supposed to do about this? How am I supposed to do this? And you see in your notes, I've got the YSH or YBH. Yes, but how? You know, how are you going to do this? You got to get some gas. You got to get some gas. G-A-S. You got to get some gas. And I got 3 things that I want you to see here. When you get gas, number one, you got to get a new heart. You got to get a new heart. Ezekiel 18, verse 31 says, rid yourself of all offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? What I want you to see here is a lot of times we go through life and we're trying to do what's right. We're trying to go down the road that God wants us to go down. Amen? But the things of this world start pressing in on us. We have stresses. We've got bills. We've got cars that break down. We've got people that get mad for no reason. We've got things that are pounding us constantly. I was talking with one of our elders this morning, and we were talking about some things that were happening. And he just looked at me and he said, Neil, you know this is all of the devil. And he is so right. Because we're trying to do what's right, but the devil keeps shooting arrows at us, keeps throwing spears at us, keeps throwing things at us. And the next thing we know, our heart is hard towards others. So we got to get a new heart. If you want to do what's well with your mouth, you've got to have that new heart. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone away. The new is here. But one of the things you've got to remember is your old self is always fighting with your new self. And it's always going to win unless you feed the new self. So you've got to get that new heart. It may very well be you've gotten in a place in your life right now where your heart is getting harder towards others and even towards God. And it may be time that you just turn and repent and say, God, I want that new heart. I want the new creation. The second thing is you've got to ask God for help. Psalms 51, verse 10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You know, the problem with most of us in our walk with God is we think it's up to us. We think that we've got to figure all this out on our own. No. I'm going to tell you a secret. This is a big secret, but what most of you know this, but you don't know it. But God is on your side, and He wants to help you. I remember my kids being little, and of course, you know, if you've heard me preach at all, you know that I love my boys. But you know, the greatest thing for my boys was when they were growing up, they wanted to do it themselves. And I would love watching them until they had to ask for my help. And I thought so many times, wouldn't it have been easier if you guys had just asked for my help first? So many times when it comes to God and our walk with God, we just don't ask God. And God is graciously there waiting for us to ask for His help so that He can give it to us. I guarantee you this, if you wake up every morning and say, God, guard my heart and my mouth today, He's going to bring up times when you're about ready to say something, and He is going to shut your mouth. I was talking with a church member, and they were being a little aggressive. And I know you guys don't believe this, but I can be a little aggressive too. And so as we were talking and they were being a little aggressive, and I was trying to listen and I was trying to be patient as I listened to this person be aggressive towards me, and I didn't think they had a right to be aggressive towards me, but I listened and I almost said something. And in the back of my mind, I heard a voice. I can't say that it was God, but I heard in the back of my mind, Neil, bite your tongue. And I didn't bleed after I bit it. But I didn't say what I wanted to say. Ask God for help. Psalms 141, verse 3 said, a guard over my mouth, Lord, keep watch over my lips. Now, the S in get some gas is you need to start a new habit. You need to start a new habit. It says, dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So there you got it. You got gas. When you go home today and your wife or somebody says, well, how was the sermon today? Well, the preacher gave me gas. I am so surprised y'all did not laugh at that earlier. But wouldn't it be awesome to go out to lunch today and somebody says, would you go to church today? And you could just look at the waiter or the waitress and says, yeah, the preacher gave us gas today. But here's my point. You need to get that new heart. You need to ask God for help, and you need to start a new habit. Well, the starting of the new habit is you can love others with loving words. You can love others with loving words. It doesn't matter who you are or who they are. You can love others with loving words. A couple years ago, I made it a habit that wherever I come in contact with someone, especially someone that I've never met before, and I did this yesterday, I came in contact with this guy. His name was Cameron. If you go to Ford's garage over here off of 54, ask for Cameron. Cameron is this high-energy, positive kid, and he's going into the military. I find out about people. He's going into the Marines. He's waiting to get his test scores and deciding which area he's going in, but he's going to join the Marines and he's going to go off to Paris Islands. And we were talking about all of this, and I just looked at him with loving eyes and then loving words. And I told him, I said, Cameron, you are one of the most high energy, most positive people that I have met in a long time. And I got to tell you this, I love it. I think it's awesome. And he was like, well, thank you so much. I said, but let me tell you this. People coming into this restaurant are not all like me. Most of them are miserable. And because they're miserable, they're going to want to make you miserable. You don't let them change who you are. And he looked at me and he says, you know what? Somebody just tried that. Tried to bring me down to their level. I'm so glad that you told me that. You see, having that habit of affirming others, it doesn't change their life completely, but it changes them for the moment. The second thing when it comes to loving others, well, let's look at this. It says, speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15, the first part of the verse, and then Proverbs 27, 5, is better an open rebuke than hidden love. And then if you turn the page over, I've got 1 Corinthians 13, 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. When Nancy and I first had our boys, Nancy was doing a lot of reading about how to be a better parent. Me, I was just trying to figure out what it meant to be a parent. But one of the books that she read was called Catch Them Doing Something Good. And so we made it a point in our parenting that when we would see our kids doing something good, we would take time and we would praise them for doing good. Because Nancy and I, growing up, I think probably more so than for me than it was for her, I never found out what was good. I always found out what was bad. As long as I wasn't doing anything bad, everything was cool. But when I did something bad, that's when I knew all of a sudden I'd done something wrong. That's how I learned right from wrong. And so Nancy and I, we tried with our boys to catch them doing something good. And I got to thinking about that today as I was doing this lesson. Wouldn't it be cool if we started catching other people doing something good? Wouldn't it be good if we went around and we saw and we took time to notice what other people were doing? That's one of the things that I have learned is that when I hear that somebody did something good and they come to me and they say, you know, such and such, they went out of their way for me to help me out here. And I will always look at them and say, well, have you told them how much you appreciate it? Because a lot of times we see other people doing good things, but we don't tell them that they're doing good things. So catch them doing something good. Letter B, love others with careful words. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Now, I want you to notice here, it says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That does not mean you have to solve the problem. When you are having a discussion with your wife, I used to think that when we were having a discussion, well, let's just call it an argument because that's what it was. When we were having an argument with one another, I used to think, well, we can't go to bed until this argument's settled. No, you can go to bed. With the argument not being settled, you just can't go to bed being angry. Because if you go to bed angry, you wake up angry. And you don't want to start your day that way. You want to make sure that you go to bed. Problems not necessarily settled, but you're not giving the devil a foothold. Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. Right beside that, take a breath. Take a breath. A lot of times when I'm in discussions with people and I can feel myself, my emotions getting higher and a little stronger, One of the things I will do is I'll just take a breath. And the reason why I take that breath is it gives me a moment to calm down. As a matter of fact, all of you in here right now, just inhale through your nose. Hold it for 3 seconds or 5 seconds if you're really good. And then just breathe out of your mouth. And I want you to feel your body relax. Because that's what taking a breath will do, is cause your body to relax. And when you relax, the situation's easier to deal with. So love each other with careful words. Letter C, love people with building words. Love people with building words. You know, everybody in this room has the ability to encourage somebody else. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Everybody in this room has the ability to encourage someone else. And the reason why I'm telling you that, because you know who needs encouragement? Every single person you come in contact with. There's not a single person in this world that doesn't need encouragement. Well, maybe some of these soccer teams, after they won the World Cup, they won't need encouragement for a few days. But everybody you come in contact will need some kind of encouragement. And so you can love people with building words. You can look at somebody and say, hey, you're doing such a great job here. Or I really appreciate your smile. But you go through this life with that habit of loving people with loving words, loving others with careful words, choose your words carefully, and then love people with building words. And those building words will make a difference. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When it comes to our invitation song, we sing it every week. And every week, all of us need to make some changes. But I would say today that all of us need to make big changes in how we deal with one another here, and especially how we deal with one another out in the world. I think sometimes we believe that our planting of seeds means that we leave a track or we give somebody a Bible verse. But I think planting seeds a lot of times is just leaving people better than you found them. And that's something we all need to do. We sing this invitation song, and one of the reasons why we sing it is because if you need the prayers of the church in order to help you with your walk with God, we're going to pray for you. If you need to be buried with Christ in baptism, we'll baptize you. If you need to repent of a sin, you can do that publicly. But I think there's not a single one of us in here today that doesn't need a prayer of forgiveness and a prayer of encouragement to do the right thing with our words. So today, before we sing the invitation song, I want to lead us in that prayer. If you'll bow with me, please. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word that guides us. We sometimes, Father, look at what we consider the major sin in life, the things that other people do that cause problems for you, cause problems for others. But Father, we never really stop and think about how our words are affecting those around us. Help us, Father, to watch our words carefully, love others with loving words, love them with careful words, and love them with words that build them up. We thank you, Father, for your word that guides us. It's in your Son's name. Amen.